I was listening to the radio the other day, and the song Taking Care of Business by Bachman Turner Overdrive, which I never knew was the name of...
BTO, yeah.
Yeah. And I was listening to it, and I was like, these guys are just so enthusiastic about getting shit done.
It's true.
Like, almost too enthusiastic. Like, we should be questioning why they're just so eager to get business taken care of.
Well, I think the obvious answer, and the way I take it, is that song's even more about cocaine than Eric Clapton's Cocaine.
Yes.
I mean, just think about it. The whole song is just dudes amped up, just like, woo, let's get you done. Taking care of business every day. Let's do it. Woo, taking care of business.
Clapton probably named the song Cocaine as a front for something else.
Right, yeah.
Just as taking care of business is a front for this song is clearly about.
It is a theme song.
Snorting a line and then getting it done, boys.
Every day. And working overtime.
Working overtime. Maybe their intentions were to make it an uplifting song, but I just see it otherwise. I really can't see those morals behind it.
What year did the song come out?
Steven.
Alexa?
Oh, I think when I was looking it up, I think it was in like...
It was late 70s, right?
79, I think. But you know me, I'm real good with decades.
Aren't we all? Let's see.
Taking care of business.
1973, early 70s. Okay, well, you know, you were in the right decade, at least.
I will take that. Dang, 73 though. Wow. It sounds like a song from the 80s, if I'm being honest. Like,
when it's so obviously about cocaine, you assume it's from the 80s, right?
Well, yes, and the 80s is clearly the decade I'm the most familiar with because I know absolutely nothing about it.
An important clarification in this story is needed, though. When you say you were listening to the radio,
yes,
and this song came on, were you listening to FM radio?
I was. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I just don't feel like putting Spotify on, and I'm like, let's just see what Jack FM, shout out, the radio station I often listen to. Oh. Let's just see what they have for me today. And that was the song that was playing.
Oh, no, 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 no.
I mean, someone's got to support the radio industry. You know, I wanted to go into radio at one point, and that's how I feel about the song Taking Care of Business.
I mean, it's a jam, though.
It is. I mean, I just imagine, like, the average Joe working 9 to 5 or 8 to 5 or whatever is just like, man, this is my song, you know? Or, like, the, I don't want to work, I just want to bang on this mug all day, you know?
Sometimes I feel like that's that one specifically, Taking Care of Business, almost has an opposite effect on me, where I'm almost just like, shut up.
I don't want to do anything today. What gives you the right?
Come in here, rub it in my face that you're taking care of business all the time.
Oh, no, no, no. You don't tell me what to do, sir.
You're trying to shame me, make me feel bad in my own car?
Right.
Because I'm on the way to Sonic to get ice cream and not taking care of business?
I am taking care of business. I'm satisfying my hunger right now.
My wife wanted ice cream, and, well, here I am.
Do you think songs like that are in their own category of music? Like, is it the workman's jam? Is that where all those songs fall into? Just those two songs, though?
They call it the workman's jam.
Yeah.
Working man's definitely in there. I think that genre includes every Bruce Springsteen song?
Every Bruce Springsteen song, for sure.
How sick would it be if he dropped, like, a new track with Obama?
He did do that podcast with him.
It's the boss featuring the other former boss.
The big boss.
Ex-POTUS.
Ex-POTUS. That would be the biggest collaboration. I think that's probably what people were expecting when they knew that Springsteen and Obama were working together.
Release the Obama mixtape.
Yeah, come on.
That's what Bruce Springsteen has been lacking all these years.
He's just need a little bit of Obama.
Right? He's been searching for that next big thing ever since Courtney Cox, and
oh my god,
and he found it.
Yeah,
and former President Barack Hussein Obama.
I wish they would have put Springsteen on Friends.
Why didn't they?
Why? I mean, everyone else was there.
The one with the boss.
The one with the boss.
The Lost Friends episode.
We know it's out there. It exists.
It's a fan fiction somewhere, right?
Oh, let's get Jade on this.
How many Friends fan fictions are there? That seems like that would be...
How many of them are called...
weird genre.
We were on a break, part one of 56.
The one where we were on a break.
From work. We need our fan fiction expert to get on this. Please look
into
it.
Our fan fiction consultant.
Yes. Can we break our record from last episode? How long can we get this cold open? Can we surpass the Highlander record?
I don't think we should.
No, we shouldn't.
At this point, I think we're getting close to 8 minutes.
Let's take care of business and get on into the show.
Yeah! And welcome to Alderaan Places.
Hello. That's it.
Just hello.
Just hello.
Is it us you're looking for?
I hope so.
Because if not, well, you should stay anyway. Why not? You're already here.
Please stay.
And you made it through the cold open, so, you know.
I mean, if you made it through last week's cold open and this week's cold open, I mean, just stay.
Definitely.
Just stick around.
You should definitely stay if you made it through both.
Yeah. So, because we're recording this before Mother's Day, we just want to take this time to say thank you to all the mothers out there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We salute you.
I mean, specifically our mothers, but, yeah. You know.
I mean, just mothers, too, I guess.
Yeah, other mothers, too.
Other mothers. Our mothers and all the other mothers.
My mother, your mother, other mothers, my daughter's mother.
Yeah. So, Nostalgia Color Glasses. They just released a brand new episode.
Featuring our good friend Tyler here.
That's not why I'm just promoting it, but you know.
But also that.
I'm also in it, so.
It was a wonderful episode.
It was such a great episode. And I think you all would enjoy it as well. So please support our friend podcast.
Yeah. Recess bullying is wrong. Unless. ... What was the actual unless? Unless it's in the geopolitical interest of the United States.
But that title was too long, so.
And I thought it might turn off some people, but if you made it through both cold opens of this show, you probably are intrigued by that.
That's going to be the title of this episode. If you made it through both cold opens. Yeah, so be sure to check that episode out. And, you know, we'll do a little bit of promoting at the end of the show like
sure.
We always do. But let's take care of some business like we always have to.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to justify why our name is Alderaan Places now, because
we've been under attack.
We are still under attack, actually. We're being attacked right now. We just don't know it. By one of our own, Steven, who seems to think we're not a Star Wars podcast anymore. So we've decided every episode we're going to just say something Star Wars related so that we're still justified as a Star Wars podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So here is the reason why we're a Star Wars podcast. Today is May 4th. May the 4th be with you. That's it.
There you go.
Just kidding. That's not it. I mean, but
that's not it. My daughter did draw a picture of Baby Yoda earlier.
Oh,
so.
That's wonderful. We made two great Star Wars posts today. Please check. One of them is very great, at least.
It's so good. Senpai Luke is so good.
Yes. That was just something I wanted to say, though, just because I felt like it'll trigger Steven. No, the reason why we are still a Star Wars podcast, Boba Fett first appeared in a county fair parade alongside Darth Vader before he was in Star Wars.
Do we know what county?
No, we don't.
I feel like this is a really important distinction.
I really wanted a picture, but there was no picture for me.
Like, what state was this in? Because it's so radically different what this image looks like.
Yeah.
If he's in, say, Iowa,
mm-hmm.
and he's just surrounded by corn, maybe there's like an anthropomorphized like mascot corn suit right there too.
Yeah,
you know,
maybe it's like the United Farmers Association mm-hmm. parade, the annual. Farmers United,
yes.
You know, United Farmers Association, and mm-hmm. Boba Fett's walking, you know, in those colors, he almost kind of looks like a farmer.
Right, and so then like, you know, 15 yards behind him is 30 dudes in overalls with a sign that says farmers need to unionize.
And then you got Boba Fett walking, and there's like, that's my farmer right there. He's carrying a gun, and has a flamethrower attached to him, but and a jetpack, but nobody
like all farmers.
Like all farmers. Mm-hmm. He is the alpha, the omega farmer of them all. He is the United Farmers Association.
I mean, he could have gotten some work as like a moisture farmer after the Sarlacc incident.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, in between Sarlacc and when is Mandalorian? It's
after Return of the Jedi.
I thought I've watched some of it.
Okay. I believe you. I know Brinley's watched more than you.
That's true. My six-year-old tells me about it.
But yes, that's your reason for today. We could explore on Boba Fett as a farmer, and we can at some point.
I think it might tie back into our second topic.
Yeah, let's hold on to that for a little bit.
Teaser for later in the episode.
Yeah, a little tease.
We call that foreshadowing.
And that one's free. So let's just go straight into the main topic here. Our first one.
Oh wait, was there? There was a news thing that we mentioned that's not in our outline that you were telling me about right before we got started that I think we should at least bring up. You were mentioning that there are a couple people leaving The Flash.
Oh yes, there are. So Tom Cavanaugh and Carlos Valdez, who are just like, I mean, they've been alumni from the beginning. You know, they're day ones. They're leaving the show after this current season of Flash.
And as we were as Tyler was telling me this, and we were kind of like, well, yeah, I guess maybe it's time. They're kind of dragging it out a little bit maybe now. Tyler was like, I feel like Grant Gustin, who plays the titular Flash, could leave the show at this point, and they would just be like, it's fine. We'll keep going.
CW is like, we still got a chance.
Well, oh, yeah, for sure.
We could keep this.
So I just thought we could, you know, maybe take a quick second to talk about how do you think CW would deal with the Flash leaving.
First of all, I just want to know we got to establish how they would handle Barry Allen actually leaving the show. And so maybe he just runs.
He just runs away.
He just runs away.
So I started running.
Yes. Basically, he left this memoir and like this rest of the show progresses of just hearing Barry talk through this memoir. And it starts with chapter one, I ran. And it's just talking about, you know, he ran and what's he doing now. And then you have all the other characters and they're just like, you guys ever think Barry's coming back? I mean, because I don't think he is.
Here's my thought is that they don't even get rid of Barry. They just replace Grant Gustin, right?
Okay.
That's the trick. So then the issue becomes like, well, how do we get away with recasting him? He's got to look similar enough, but...
Do they still call him Barry, too? Or do they change it to, like, Bory or
something? Oh, no, it's definitely Barry. Here's my proposition. And you have to embrace the changes and kind of steer in a new direction, you know, in order to make this work. So I think Barry gets absorbed by the Speed Force or goes into the Speed Force something, gets aged a few years, pops out, and he's, you know... Even, you know, maybe even a little skinnier, a little older. Who's that? It's John Mulaney.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Looks just like Grant Gustin.
Yeah, he does. He honestly
Except
does.
A few years older and a little more emaciated.
He would be so animated, so too, then, as the Flash.
Then it's just a Flash sitcom. We just steer into, well, now the lead is John Mulaney.
Do you think that would actually convince Tom Cavanaugh and Carlos Valdez to come back on the show?
I feel like it would.
They'd be like, wait, this is different. I like
Hold
this.
On. That was the whole thing. I didn't want to get typecast. I didn't want to get stuck doing the same thing. But this is a new show. This is
I'm running. Fresh. I'm fast. I can go places. That kind of sounds like Jeff Goldblum as the Flash, which I love completely. Oh, Flash, Lightning, Speed Force.
Jeff Goldblum's like, he's got to be like a villain.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I am a fast superhero. I don't know what that was.
John Mulaney?
Kind of. Kind of. I accidentally do John Mulaney all the time.
Yes.
And then I attempt to do it and it turns into something else.
Jeff Goldblum could
be hero thing. Ooh.
Jeff Goldblum could be like Mirror Master or something.
Ooh, yeah.
He'd be like, Flash, oh, look at yourself. Oh, no, that's just me.
I'm pushing.
I'm going to push. Yeah, I like that. CW, we got it.
We got your back, you know? Well, I mean, we don't. You'll have to talk to John Mulaney's people.
Yeah.
But I feel like he'll probably just go, yeah, why not?
Why not? I mean, the show's gone longer than his show that he had, so.
Sadly, yes.
Yeah, that wasn't meant to be a burn, but I'm sorry.
We're still sad about it, too.
Well, we're on the topic of DC, so that kind of segues very well into
our first actual topic.
What wonderful thing we are discussing. Of the many wonderful things we are continuing to discuss. Obviously, we've talked about Zack Snyder quite a bit in the last few weeks, almost as much as we've talked about Elon Musk.
Wow.
Almost as much as we've talked about Elon Musk.
One day, I'm just going to do a super cut of all the times we say Elon Musk.
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk. Elon. 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 Elon.
Put that right next to the Porkins cut that we're going to do.
I have that one. I'm sitting on it. I'm going to put it up on Patreon one of these days.
Hell yeah. So, we've almost talked about Zack Snyder as much as Elon Musk. And Elon Musk has hardly really been relevant when he has come up, kind of. But I did some research, and I think, you know, a lot of people don't understand. They're like, Warner Brothers, why? Why won't you do the Snyderverse? You know, come on. It's because they're doing the wrong Snyderverse, man. What they really want is the Snyderverse. Yes.
I knew where you were going.
So this all started with a photo that lives on the internet, thank God. And it's a image of the Justice League with Rob Schneider, different versions of Rob Schneider cropped into every member of the Justice League with the infamous Restore the Snyderverse. And I back this more than I back Restore the Snyderverse. So I think we should just, you know, I guess determine which hero is which version of Rob Schneider, I guess. And what kind of story do they go with in this version?
Oh, man. So I guess the question is, if all the heroes are Rob Schneider, are all the villains Adam Sandler?
They could be, yeah. I like that. I like Bizarro definitely being some version of Adam Sandler.
Oh, looky here. Who is this? Superman? Oh, I'm so scared.
I'm just wondering if Waterboy is actually just Bizarro.
Bobby Boucher.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's a side note, though, but the Schneiderverse. Yeah.
Adam Sandler would be a great Lex Luthor, though, now that I'm thinking about it. I'm really into this.
I could dig it.
Obviously, in this image, I see one of the Rob Schneiders from his role in 51st Dates.
Is Aquaman, for sure,
yes,
right?
Yeah, he is Aquaman.
That is Dollar General Aquaman.
And after, I mean, I guess we have Deuce Bigalow. He would be Batman, I guess? No.
I don't, maybe, I'm trying to...
I'm not as familiar.
Okay, let's go for the low-hanging fruit. Obviously, the hot chick is Wonder Woman.
Yes, most definitely.
Oh, right, the hot chick? That's the name of that one, right?
In this picture, they have his role from 51st Dates as Wonder Woman, but I agree, he would be Aquaman.
What? Yeah, he looks just like him.
Yeah. Yes.
There's even a scene of him in the water.
Right. So, yes. Hot chick Rob Schneider would have to be, for sure.
It's the only female Rob Schneider.
Yes. What about Making Copies Rob Schneider from SNL? I don't know where
Which
he...
one?
The Making Copies.
I don't remember this.
That's like, that was one of his like big...
My brain goes to the Gap Girls. When he was the one who worked at the donut place that they're, like, talking shit about.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you just gotta cinch him. Cinch him. It's Adam Sandler, David Spade, and Rob Schneider.
Oh, lovely.
And Alec Baldwin.
Oh, nice.
Who is just, well, himself.
Yeah, so...
All right, so what else we got? What about the You Can Do It guy?
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah.
Who's the You Can Do It... That seems like a Flash thing, right? Flash is You Can Do It guy, huh?
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
He's just sprinting, just, you can do it. You can do it.
I love this Superman. He's just so like.
So what Rob Schneider is that?
I don't know.
Is that just plain Rob Schneider?
That's what I'm thinking. It's just Rob Schneider. So obviously he's got to factor into this.
I mean, I guess I guess it's obvious that in this situation, if they were to shoot this film, Rob Schneider has to play all the roles because there is like a 0% chance that he has the COVID vaccine, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.
Sorry, I had to make at least one anti-vax joke, right?
Okay, so he's also in Benchwarmers. How could I forget that?
Oh, classic. Oh, yeah, no, that. That's the Superman.
Yes. Oh, and he's in Home Alone 2. How could I forget?
Wait,
he's the bellhop.
Time out to talk about Benchwarmers, though.
Yeah, oh, man.
But there was a point in time when somebody was casting a movie or possibly writing a movie, I don't know, and they went, who can play an old, like, jock? Who can play, like, a superstar baseball player that's so good they can carry an entire team?
Guys, I got it.
Rob Schneider. Rob Schneider. The most athletic person I've ever seen.
Oh, we have the animal. How could I forget?
The animal. I mean, are we going Justice League or DC at large?
Let's keep it small and do Justice League for
that's
right
fair.
Now.
That's fair. Because Beast Boy is the obvious answer there.
Most definitely.
Obviously.
Also, I just want to know what in the hell this movie is, because I've never heard of it. It won't show me the picture.
What's the title?
Big Stan.
Oh.
But that... please look at
Why is the cover of this movie his head photoshopped on somebody else's body?
Yeah, because we know Rob Schneider's never been a convicted criminal, ever. He's never done anything bad enough. He's just a good guy.
But just look at it. Like that, yeah. That head doesn't look like...
This is Rob Schneider...
Google band Big Stan right now. We'll wait.
Yes, please. We'll give you that. And while you're doing that, let me just mention, this is Rob Schneider if he had ever released a rap album. Because this is the cover. And he was under the persona of Big Stan. That's what this is.
It's your boy Big Stan on the mic.
And the tagline is, he'll have to kick some butt to save his own. Yikes. Yeah, Big Stan. Which persona of the Justice League?
Oh, man. All right. Well, let's think. If we're thinking, you know, DCEU,
mm-hmm.
I mean, who we have left? Cyborg?
Cyborg, Batman, and Superman. Well,
I don't...
Okay, we did...
What Rob Schneider character has the brains to be Batman?
I have no idea.
It might have to be Deuce Bigalow.
Yeah, it might. Yeah, because, I mean, he's a ladies' man. Ladies' man, you know?
Something like that. Is David Spade Robin?
Yes. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. What about Grown-Ups Rob Schneider? I forget that those movies exist.
I've never watched them. I want to like them in theory.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the whole idea of those movies was Adam Sandler was just like, what if we just got drunk and made a movie with our friends in Hawaii? And it was just like, yeah, that's the movie.
It's We're just grown-ups.
Just a bunch of old comedians hung out and fucked around on camera. And I'm like, I like that, and I like that conceptually.
Yeah. And Shaq will be there, and all these famous people.
I love Shaq. I feel like we should reference Shaq more on this show.
That's the next task.
Did you ever try the Shaq-a-roni pizza when it was out?
Unfortunately, I did not. Was it a slam
dunk?
Oh,
yeah, you're a vegan person. Like, why would
I? I'm a vegan person. Why would I? Was it a slam dunk, though?
It was so good.
A Shaq slam dunk?
I feel like an ass.
It doesn't take very
hey,
much.
Hey, Tyler, did you try this pizza that came with extra meat and extra cheese?
Maybe he'll release the vegan one, you know? You never know. But if it's a Shaq slam dunk, that's not saying much. Because he's already very tall, he just...
Yeah, he kind of just reaches over.
Yeah.
That scene in Space Jam would have been way less impressive, because he could have just, like, leaned forward from the free throw line and, like...
His arm is already stretched out.
Yeah. He just does, like, not even the full-on smooth criminal lean, but, like, almost the smooth criminal lean, like, hee-hee, slam.
Hey, y'all, watch this. You're like, Shaq, why couldn't you do that the entire time, man?
And then he does the little wiggle.
The general's down there, too. From
general, jump to the general and save some time.
What are you doing down here, man? Okay, who is Cyborg Rob Schneider? Oh, he's in Click. I don't know who he is in Click. I forgot about that movie.
I mean, we could make one exception, and Shaq could be Cyborg.
I'm okay with that. Yeah, you're right. Let's keep it. I actually love that.
And then we get to talk about Shaq a little more.
There we go. We're already accomplishing our task of including Shaq more. So what is the story arc? I mean, how do we bring this all together? What is the span
of? I think the beauty of any true Rob Schneider movie is there is no cohesive plot.
No.
So I think the basic idea is you take a bunch of characters and you throw them together, and then that's a Rob Schneider movie.
Yeah.
Just see what happens.
I love the line.
I think we've accomplished that.
I love the line that gets brought up in Justice League where Batman says he's never fought all of us, not all of us united. But obviously in this Schneider cut, Rob Schneider Batman says he's never fought all of us. Not all of us Schneiders united. And then just boom, credits.
And then they all just morph into one.
The ultimate Schneider. The supreme Schneider.
Voltron Schneider.
Yes. Five mini Schneiders formed together to make one giant Schneider. No, Schneider sounds like it's supposed to be like some kind of like innuendo for like a dick. Like, I'm not gonna lie.
Have you seen Ninja Batman?
No, I need to.
Okay, spoiler alert, and I feel like I've talked about this on the show before, but there is a scene in it where he summons bats to him and he forms this like giant mech suit out of living bats.
Why not?
And that's what I'm picturing, but with Rob Schneider's.
I'm so here for that.
A giant Rob Schneider made up of tiny Rob Schneiders.
Yes. And all of them are just like, you can do it! You can do it! Every time he moves, it's just all of them collectively. You can do it! Maybe he does like the Terry Crews thing where he can like flex his, it's like, you can do it! Well, I knew this was going to be amazing. I just didn't know how amazing it was going to be.
Oh, you know, this does remind me of something else that I felt like we needed to mention, and I meant to bring up earlier, and I forgot. This is a perfect segue, because, you know, the whole release of the Snyder Cut thing was just 100% the result of fans bullying a studio.
And not even coming together for what they love, but
bullying.
Give us the fucking Snyder Cut or else.
I mean, basically, right?
Yeah.
More or less.
Warner Brothers has gotten egged so many times, probably.
Oh, for sure. And Tyler and I found ourselves in a similar situation where Steven has been bullying us about Star Wars facts.
Dude, yes. Okay, listen. Guys, I'm getting hate mail, all right? Today, Steven listened to last week's episode, which you should check out. I'll remind you later. You know, I made sure to ask him. I was like, hey, dude, did you hear the shout out that we gave you in the episode? He was like, you know, I feel some shade was thrown my way. And the dynamic of this podcast has now changed because of my voice. And he said, I'm 50-50 on this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When you read me this, I came up with a perfect analogy. He's not wrong, because it's kind of like if after the fans bullied Sony into fixing Sonic.
Yes.
That was Sony, right?
Yeah, sure.
We'll say it.
Sega?
Sega. Into whatever company. Into fixing a Sonic. It'd have been like if they did it, they're like, okay, fine. And they fixed it and then included a scene in the movie where Sonic was like, are you fucking happy now?
Yeah.
Do you like this? Is this what you wanted?
Do I look good enough for you people?
Huh? Are you going to body shame me some more?
Every time I read a comment about how ugly I looked, I lost more and more rings. Do you know what happens if I lose all my rings, guys? I die.
I did die. Rings are to me what applause are to fairies.
So I died, and from the ashes, I was reborn anew.
You're fucking welcome, I guess.
And I guess that's what this podcast has to do to make Steven happy. So let's see those hashtags, folks. Restore Alderaan Places.
Speaking of collecting rings, though,
let's get some rings of our own. some coins.
You can do it! You can do it all night long!
Ooh, and we're back.
I feel rejuvenated. I feel like I got a lot out of that ad break.
Right, yeah.
And I hope you did too.
Yeah, there was like some catharsis that happened, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Feel, you know, unburdened.
You know, on this day that comes once a year, Tuesday, May the 4th, but specifically May the 4th, mm-hmm. to be with you, mm-hmm. there's only one thing that's worth celebrating and discussing, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jack Tono Porkins.
A.K.A. Lord Snorkins.
Lord Snorkins. Supreme, yes, Lord Snorkins the Great.
And do not forget to leave out the traditional offerings for Snorkins.
Yeah. He also does take the milk and cookies that you leave out for Santa as well.
Mm-hmm. He will take those, but he will not be happy. He does prefers his milk to be blue and spiked with spiced rum.
Yes. He probably will just go ahead and just raid your pantry, though.
Yeah, it's true.
He's a hungry guy.
Yeah, honestly, he would really appreciate it if you would just open the pantry door.
Just leave it open. Leave the fridge open, too.
Go through if you have any paper clips or, you know, like chip bag clips or things. Like, go ahead and just pull those off.
Just take those off.
Just get them out of the way because he will just devour it all.
Yeah, I mean, anything he sees, he eats.
He is an eldritch monster. We don't want him to get one stuck in his gullet. It'll upset him. He could take out the lower floor.
I mean, he's been through a lot, guys. Mm-hmm. You think about Porkins. I mean, he's really...
Oh, yeah. The path he took to, you know, crawl his way back to this mortal coil.
Yeah.
Like, he is an eldritch terror.
He's a hero, too. I mean, a lot of people seem to, you know, kind of ignore that. As I'm wearing a shirt with his face on it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm
never five get.
Never five get, you know. Salute to our heroes of the Battle of Yavin.
I can hold it.
Stay on target. So let's check in on our journey of Snorkins.
I mean,
we have not visited him in a while.
It's been a couple of years, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Well, I mean, because the year of 2020 is a blur of just who knows what.
It literally is 20 years within a year.
Mm-hmm. It is simultaneously the longest and shortest year of all time.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not of all time. Of the past 100 years, maybe?
Definitely.
But yeah, so it's been a while since we checked in on our boy Porkins. I had no idea what he was doing.
Yeah, okay. Me either.
And honestly, I think the last time we checked in on Porkins, Rise of Skywalker had not come out.
No, but I think that's okay.
I still haven't seen it.
Because I pretty much want to forget about it. So let's just, you know, I think there's some...
I did see the post-credits scene, though, where... remember that scene? I assume you didn't see it.
I didn't, no. I'm not used to
remember
Star Wars movies having post-credits.
You remember that scene in The Matrix when Neo, like, jumps inside Agent Smith's body and then, like, bursts out?
Yeah.
It was a little weird to see them lift that almost, like, shot for shot. But they skipped the jumping inside part, so we just see, you know, like Kylo, Ben, you know, kind of like walking, doing his thing. Oh, do, 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 do. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly, oh, who's that bursting from beneath his skin?
Keanu Reeves.
Snorkins.
Snorkins, right.
Snorkins has possessed and taken over the body of Kylo Ben.
Kylo Ben. Yes, because Kylo Ren is no more.
Yeah, now he's Kylo
Ben.
I'm
Kylo Ben, I guess. Like, that wasn't me.
Like, I can't just abandon the name Kylo. It's too fucking cool.
Yeah.
I've been going by Kylo now for years. Like, I can't go back to being Ben. What, do you want me to get a job in the grocery store, too? Like, no thanks.
Ben was some old guy. Do I look like some old guy?
And that wasn't even his name either.
No wonder I freaking killed my father. He yelled Ben. When we were in that Starkiller base, he was like, Ben!
Do I look like a 76-year-old retired man?
He's like, hey, Dad, what is that? And then stabs him. But hey, we all we all know Han Solo's alive.
Who's there?
Yeah. I think there's just, you know, here and there, there's some you know, little memories of Porkins that we can probably piece together here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Well, you know, I did mention earlier that ever since his, like, death and revival, which actually, you know, in complete honesty, I'm pretty sure we didn't actually kill him last time. I think we said he survived. But no, I think he died and then has clawed his way back from the underworld as a, like, dark force ghost and then took over. Because they're having to retcon everything, you know?
Well, I was going to say he went through a quickening to even bring in last week's saga that is the cold open of historical Alderaan places.
He is an immortal. He is the last immortal.
Snorkins is a Highlander.
Or maybe he's... No, I guess he would have to be the first immortal because this did take place a long, long time ago.
Yes, in a galaxy far, far away. So perhaps that is, you know, that's the way he comes back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's like, you thought I was gone. You thought wrong.
He, you know... He's old and wrinkled and gray-haired, but he manages to overpower a guy on a hoverboard and chop his head off with a train.
Mm-hmm.
again, lifting a scene directly from Highlander. And then, who's that? It's our hero, Porkins. Hey, guys, it's me, Porkins.
I just imagine, like, an X-Wing is flying, like, street level. Like, it's a road-safe X-Wing. And you just hear, like, guess who's back?
Back again.
And he pulls up.
Snorkins back.
He's like, it's Snorkins, bitch. And then just, like, flies off.
I mean, I'm anxious for the part of the journey where he goes on this whole, like, adventure to the lost planet of the dead in an attempt to rescue the soul of Biggs Darklighter.
Yes. There definitely has to be some more reunions. I know we've done that before, but... Maybe he ran into Dak the last time, but this time he's got to see Biggs.
Biggs is one true love.
Biggs is one true love.
I do remember that was part of the Snorkins mythos. And I think, that's what I was going to say. A lot of what we've talked about previously with Snorkins has since been relegated to the Legends canon.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, those stories do exist out there, but they're, you know, they've kind of been put on a back burner. They're happening in their own timeline now.
The executives don't want to make Legends canon because they know nothing of it.
It'd be too complicated, man. There's so much going on. There's so many rabbit holes to go down, and there's no way they could get Mark Hamill to do that many movies.
Of course. Well,
also, you know, Carrie Fisher, rest in peace, and Harrelson Ford, I almost said.
Please, Harrelson Ford was my father.
It's me, Woody Harrelson Ford.
Holy shit. Oh, that mental image in my head. Woody Harrelson. Oh my god.
Woody Harrelson is Han Solo. I mean, he was in
Solo.
He was in Solo.
He was... He literally was Woody Harrelson.
He was basically like Han's inspiration for becoming himself, wasn't he?
Bro, this is like, it's 7 degrees of...
It's 2 degrees of Han Solo.
Yeah, 2 degrees of Han Solo. That's all you need, especially when you're frozen in carbonite.
That could be the episode title, too. 2 degrees of Han Solo.
Yeah.
Or 2 degrees of Harrelson Ford.
I love that. Harrelson Ford is one of my... I want to make that like a username on like AOL or something.
Is AOL still real?
No, but that's why I do it. Okay, so I love this one. So he goes on a mission. Snorkins. Mm-hmm, he is Snorkins at this point. Mm-hmm. He has embraced the Snorkins. He goes on a mission to find Boba Fett.
And I love this. He's going on the mission for Boba Fett.
Yeah.
I think we approach the Snorkins mythos just like that. You know, it's sort of like a mythos, a collection of tales, like the way you would read Robin Hood, where there's no strict chronology. It's just kind of this loose association of adventures and events that are happening in the life of this larger than life figure,
absolutely,
this hero. That is all. Continue.
The tales of Snorkins. Yeah, so he goes to find Boba Fett. Well, he has to interrogate some space goons along the way, you know.
We know from earlier in the episode that Boba Fett is working as a moisture farmer.
Yes.
Organizing unions.
But even Snorkins doesn't know that.
Oh, so yeah, yeah.
He puts himself through the physical hell of going into the Sarlacc pit. Because he's like, they're like, I don't know, he fell in the Sarlacc pit. That's the last time I saw him. Mm-hmm, it was really embarrassing, but, you know, we don't talk about that. I don't know what happened. I don't know what was going on in his home life. You know, he was having an off day. So Snorkins is like, okay, whatever. So he ventures down into the Sarlacc pit, thinks he kind of pieces together, finds some pieces of armor or whatever.
He finds his way into the bar that has been established in the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah.
Because it takes, what, like 1,000 years to get digested in the Sarlacc pit, I believe?
I mean, there's a lot you can do. He literally stumbles upon
it. Yeah, like, I feel like that's kind of just like a weird statement, like a weird thing that was thrown in there. Oh, you'll be slowly digested over 1,000 years. Like, dog, I'm not going to live 1,000 years. What are you talking about? Yoda wasn't 1,000.
He's like, shit, I could go back to school. I could finish getting my degree.
Like, that's like the most basic level. Is it just saliva in there? That is like the most shitty stomach acid. If it's going to take it 1,000 years.
We've got a whole community of people down here.
Like, look, we're growing our own fucking hemp, man. Like, we got it good. There's a jazz club over there.
We have stocks down here that they don't know. The people up there, they don't know about.
Our school was ranked top in the district.
The Sarlacc district. The one district we got. I don't know. We got a district way over there in that stomach.
Oh, yeah. We don't fuck around with East stomach too much, except for, you know. Well, we do have the occasional baseball game, you know.
Yeah. Rivalry. Well, Snorkins gets all the way there, finds Boba's bar. Literally, he's like, oh, this, okay, he's here. He's the bartender, or owns this bar.
Mm-hmm.
Walks in, they're like, nah, dude, he got out. He hasn't been here in, like, ever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, he just, you know, he collects rent sometimes.
Yeah.
Usually not himself. He sends a Jawa to pick it up for him.
So Snorkins is like,
cute, and Snorkins waiting to jump the Jawa.
Right. And he's just like, well, shit, I'm already down here, and this was for nothing. So Snorkins being Snorkins just, like, bust out of the stomach. And, you know, all those people are just like, that's all we had to do to get out? You know, we just had to fly out through the dirt, you know?
But then, you know, a whole civil war starts because there's the one faction that doesn't want to leave the belt.
Right.
You know, there's a whole generation of children that were born inside the Sarlacc. They don't know the surface world.
The children of the Sarlacc.
The sun is painful to their eyes.
Right.
I mean,
how are we supposed to interact with normal people?
How do we go back to something we never knew?
That's a story that Luke Skywalker couldn't even, I mean, it just doesn't even compare. You know?
Children of the Sarlacc, I think, is my favorite non-canon Star Wars book.
I can't wait to read it when someone publishes it. Maybe us.
Man, if George Lucas were still in control, I could 100% get that published.
We could do it. I mean, it probably already exists, knowing George's crazy mind.
That was the thing with the EU, or Legends, as they're calling it now. Whoever approached him with any idea and a little bit of money.
Well, okay. Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah, I love that. I love that
that's
lot.
That's great, yeah.
A lot of people actually don't know. The Sarlacc are really nice creatures.
They have a very intricate societal and familial structure.
So this next tale of Snorkins.
Oh, we've been going 15 minutes. We could save it. We could come back to Snorkins.
Yeah, actually, I think we should.
We still have some facts to hit.
Yes, we do. We do. Okay, so we're going to stop there. On Snorkins. We will revisit Snorkins.
We've been away from our friend Snorkins for too long.
We have. And we got to stay a Star Wars podcast since we are under fire.
Snorkins is our lifeline to the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, I don't think I'm ever going to get the egg off my car because Steven's just from Dallas is hurling eggs.
Well, don't worry. I put saran wrap on his toilet seat from here. So
that's going to suck.
I'm working on my telekinesis.
So I know I gave you guys a Star Wars fact earlier, you know, but I actually have four Star Wars facts for you today. This first one, I love it. Okay. Down, straight to the point. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Skywalker could have been a woman.
Well, I mean, anyone could have been a woman.
But that's a Star Wars fact. Luke Skywalker could have been a woman.
Could have been.
Could have been. That's it. I mean,
Leia could have been a guy.
Han Solo could have been played by Woody Harrelson. Harrelson Ford.
I would love to see the redo of Star Wars where Bail Organa adopted Luke and Owen and Beru got Leia. And there's just Princess Luke. And Leia's like carrying him across the chasm, and like it's the same outfits, it's the same everything. They are just swapped.
Yeah, she literally still does the like, but I was gonna go to the Tashi station to get some power converters.
Aren't you a little short to be a stormtrooper?
Stay in here and rot.
No, fuck you.
Yeah, pretty much. I love that. Oh, well, you're gonna love this next one.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes.
As if that one could not have been any better. The Millennium Falcon and Big Mac have a lot in common. I don't know who came up with these facts, but I want to find them, and I just want to give them a good old pat on the back, because I love how just straightforward they are, with no context.
So what do the Millennium Falcon and the Big Mac have in common? They're both kind of roundish.
Yes, George Lucas actually inspired the Millennium Falcon from a hamburger.
Okay, I mean, I can imagine.
He was hungry.
The Big Mac always does the thing where the middle part wants to slide out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take that into consideration, that gap in the back between the top and bottom bun,
yeah,
that's like the thruster there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the like middle bun, that's the sort of like front part.
And then like that, those times where like you have like a pickle and like maybe like two fries stuck on the bottom bun of the burger that happened. You know, that's your bottom turret from the ship, you know. So, but that's only sometimes.
And Han Solo did steal both from Lando Calrissian.
And it gave us the buck. That's amazing. Wow. I just want to think about that for a second. You're going to love this one too.
Okay.
Okay. I said I'm going to think about it, and then I immediately went to the next fact. okay. Han Solo's carbonite mold wasn't entirely modeled by Harrison Ford alone.
I should hope not, because it looks nothing like him.
Well, the face, kind of. He did the hands and the face, but the body was done by an anonymous donor.
That's horrifying.
I know. And so can you imagine where it's just like when you get your license or whatever and you're like, yeah, I'd like to be a donor. What kind of donor? Just if anyone ever needs like a mold of a body, I feel like I've got it.
Like I'm there for you. Well, what are your dimensions?
Carbonite?
What are your sizes? Well, I don't know. Roughly Harrelson Ford sized.
Harrelson Ford sized.
Now I'm doing it on purpose.
Yes. Well, I love it. I'm only going to call him that from now on. So I just love that. I love the fact that it was an anonymous donor.
That creeps me out. Did somebody just send it to him? Like, did someone just make a mold of their body and mail it to Lucasfilm? And it showed up, and George was like, well, now I have to use that in the movie.
What if they just had it there, and, like, one of the crew guys was like, oh, and fell, and, like, their body just, like, fell into it, and they're like, oh, fuck, I can't get fired. I cannot lose this job. And so they just, like, left, and they're like, oh, sweet, Harrison did the mold.
Sweet.
We don't have to do it anymore.
Oh, cool, we can move on.
That's not my body. I didn't do that. Okay, this last one. Very interesting.
Right, one more.
Slug-like Jabba the Hutt originally had humanoid features.
Wait, so this is not even before the redesign, because there was like the original where he was just a dude.
Oh, that's it then. That's the fact. That he was supposed to be like an actual like human.
Oh, and then they changed him.
Yeah.
I did see that because I had the special edition VHS ones,
mm-hmm.
you know, the gold sleeve when I was a kid. And there was a whole like making of thing talking about it. And like it would show you the scene where it was like a dude in a fur vest.
Yeah. And they said that it was because of like budget, like they just couldn't do it. And I was like, but you did like a puppet of a slug. I mean, I prefer the slug anyway, but then George went and just CGI'd Jabba, which was god awful.
Oh my god, they had to edit in and change the scene, because originally Han walked around him while he was talking and like walked through his tail.
They had that to fix awful, it,
so he did like a,
yeah, he just, it's awful. Those are your four Star Wars facts on this.
It's
May
me,
the 4th.
Jabba the Man.
Han, please, Han. Come on, I'm a reasonable guy.
Oh, so low.
I couldn't imagine.
Oh, 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 oh. Your Jedi mind tricks won't work on me.
Somehow it'd be even creepier if it was humanoid Jabba the Hutt with Slave Leia.
100,000 times more creepy.
Still eating those weird frog things?
Oh, no. Oh God, that was... Ugh.
It was awful.
Those little frog things, man. They were gnarly.
Well, that's all I got. Those are your Star Wars facts.
Some wonderful Star Wars facts from May the 4th.
I take pride in them.
I especially like the Millennium Falcon and Big Mac have a lot in common, because it's a lot to think about. It's pretty deep. It's got some philosophical implications, I think.
Luke Skywalker could have been a woman.
He could have been. I could have been. We could have been women. Everyone could have been a woman.
Yes.
What if God were one of us?
Just ponder.
Things to think about.
But thank you guys for listening, as always.
Thank you so much.
Make sure you check out our previous episode, Rambo 9 Full Quickening. It's a doozy.
Oh, and all of our back catalog. There's a lot of real gems in there, if I do say so myself. Not to toot our own horns, but, no. You know, toot. So.
And go check out some of our older episodes that feature the beginning of the Snorkin saga.
Yeah.
So you can kind of refamiliarize yourself with what's going on, so you're not left out in the dust.
Or if, you know, maybe you're a little confused about all the shade we're throwing at Steven, go back and listen to the episode Steven's Strange Return.
Yeah.
You know, maybe go back and listen to some of the old episodes when Steven was still a regular host. Like, yeah.
When Batman Robots became an iconic staple that we have since thrown into the furnace because of this recent feud.
Yep. We're making our own Batman Robots.
I do have one, actually.
Oh, God.
You and I both said it at the same time, and I've saved it. So we have Batman Robots 2.0. Yeah, and don't forget, check out the new Nostalgia Color Glasses. Yeah. Recess, Bullying is Wrong Unless.
Unless.
And check out all their other episodes as well. It's a great podcast.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We're on anchor.fm, you know, same host as here. You heard an ad about him earlier. We're on Anchor, we're on Spotify, app. I think we're on Apple. I don't know. Google, at least.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the fun places. Check us out. It's a lot of fun. You can also go over to our website at disappearingpants.com. And there you'll find links to our live shows, productions we've done in the past, all of our podcasts, this one, Nostalgia, our D&D podcast that will be launching soon.
Yes.
Whose initiative is it anyway? That'll be a lot of fun. So you'll be able to find all that information there.
Yeah.
So look
and
there.
A link to our Patreon as well.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to our patrons.
Yeah, if you're a real big fan, it's super cool. Including, we had a new patron within the past couple of days.
Nice.
So, Big T.Y. Tammy Bonner.
Nice. So, we got three patrons. Big three.
Woo woo.
Yeah, so thank you. A big thank you to our patrons now. And, I mean, there's a lot of perks that come with that. So
yeah, go if you're interested, check it out. And also... I mentioned this earlier. If you haven't already done it, like and subscribe to this show.
Please
specifically
do.
This one, Nostalgia, all of our stuff, but specifically this one right now.
Yes. And leave us a review if you liked it, if you didn't, or you have some request.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We will gladly take those. We are eager to, you know, talk about subjects that
and
you
please
want.
Tell your friends.
Yes. Share with your friends. Tell your friends. Tell them to review us and subscribe. And
word of mouth, man. Or you know what? If you're a big fan, subscribe on multiple platforms. That's fine too. You know,
yeah.
If you want to like follow us on Spotify and subscribe on Anchor and subscribe on Google, that's fine.
Yeah. I mean,
it might be
helps.
Weird and unnecessary, but like you can do that.
And it's just really cool of you.
You do reserve that right.
You do have the right.
You do have the right to be an attorney.
To subscribe to Alderaan Places on multiple platforms.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And with that, thank you.
Adieu.
Adieu.
To you.
And you.
And your mom.
Oh, happy Mother's Day!
Burr, burr, burr.
Batman Robots.
This is a Disappearing Pants production.
Embrace the ridiculous!